Saints, as I started off this morning reading Isaiah 6 and Revelation, I had mentioned how both of those passages deal with the presence of God and being in the presence of God. And right now, that's where the Lord has me, just, oh man, so in his presence. And that's really what our discussion today would really, it's not going to be a discussion. Normally, as you guys know, I have pages and pages. But today, no pages, just this, just notes. I just want to just read some scriptures with you and ponder with you, and then for us to go into prayer and ask God to take us deeper into his presence, ask God to enlighten our heart, to deepen our fellowship and relationship with Jesus. So really, this is a prayer meeting. Hopefully I can be done here so we can have time just to pray and call out to the Lord. That's really today. That's what God has placed on my heart. I know that last week I told you all I'm ready to get to Matthew 12 or 11, I'm sorry. 11. So, I'm doing a series just to those who are first timers. So I've been preaching a series on life. I call it the Life Series, and we're really looking at eternal life. And we've done two parts so far? Two? So every week I tell you all, we're going to do this next week. And then what happens? We get here and I'm like, no, we need to stay here. And so, again, I wanted to go to Matthew 11. Matter of fact, the goal was to read Psalm 16:11. Dig more to that because I mentioned it last week, but I feel like I didn't spend enough time there. I really want you to see the meat surrounding that. But as I go there, God just begins to just open my mind and just about his presence. And that's where he's had me for the past 6 weeks. Just, oh man, just the presence of God. And so we're just going to read some passages that hopefully it'll help you to see what I'm talking about. And then just going into prayer and asking for more of God's presence, more of him, just more of our relationship with him, growing deeper, knowing him in a deeper way. Because in the presence of God, the scripture says there's fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there's so much life there. I know this is a life series. And so when you're just meeting the Lord in his presence, oh my goodness, it's life there. And so that's really what I want to drive home. I think about monasticism and monks and how you would hear about how certain monks would spend 8 hours in prayer. I've heard a guy spending 8 hours in prayer, and I thought that's just weird. Who's going to spend that long? But now I get it. When you are wrapped in his presence, you don't want to leave. When you're there with him, you don't want to leave. And so I'm praying that that is something that you are experiencing. That's my hope, that you are experiencing and encountering the presence of God. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, will you do what you've been doing in me for the past 6 weeks, Lord Jesus? For the past 6 weeks, God, how your presence has just been so real, so palpable, Lord. Will you work that in my brothers and sisters' heart? God, there's so much life there with you, Lord. Oh God, in that fellowship, God, so much life there, Lord. We never want to leave that place, God. I pray that you are. But my brothers and sisters, God, are experiencing you in that way, Lord Jesus. Now, God, will you come into them, God? Will you deepen their understanding, God? Will you draw them near, Lord God, that they meet you and they say, I never want to leave this place, God. I want to experience you forever and ever, God. Will you do that work in them, Lord? Do that work, God. Knowing you, Jesus, is life, Lord. You said it in your word. To know you and the Father is eternal life. That is so true, Jesus. Lord, do it, God. Do it, Lord. The presence of God is enough, saints. So yesterday at my daughter's party, we're doing musical chairs. And I'm the guy, you know, controlling the music. Just talking about the presence of God. And one of the songs we're doing for musical chairs is Forrest Frank, Your Way Is Better. And because of the presence of God, as we're playing this song, saints, I just wanted to just fall on my knees and just scream and give him praise, because his presence is just so near. Even when I'm playing musical chair songs for my daughter, it's just something that is so different. I've been a Christian for a long time, and it's never been like this, where there's just this presence of God. Even when I'm driving, even when I'm at work, his presence is just so palpable and real. My prayers that you too are experiencing this with the Lord. Just the presence of God. And no time is even greater than when I'm alone with the Lord by myself. And I'm on my knees on the couch, and then the Holy Spirit just begins to bring verses of scripture in your mind and begin to elevate you and bring you before his throne, and you are just stuck there in love. That's God. It's just revealing his truths, filling your mind with glory, but you're right there in your living room, like the presence of God is right there. And I pray, saints, that that is you, that you are meeting Jesus every day, every morning, that it's just not just a Bible study, but you are really encountering the living God, his presence, you're entering in. It's a passage that speaks to that I just want to bring you to, and that's really what we're going to just do here. It's just, I have some passages that we can look at and ponder and think through, and then we'll go into prayer. So nothing major heavy. Well, the presence of God is heavy enough, so I shouldn't say that. But go with me to Psalms 27:4, which we've gone here a gazillion times, but I want to read it again. Because this describes what should be happening in our lives, saints. Jesus is not just a religion, not somebody who lived 2,000 years ago, but he is alive. He is here. You can really encounter and meet him. And when you meet him, you don't want the time to end. You want to stay there in his presence. Psalms 27:4. Can we hear, saints? Look what the psalmist says here. He says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek. What is this one thing? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And what does he want to do? He wants to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. He said, that's the one thing he wants. He wants to dwell in the house of the Lord and just behold God, saints. And my question is to you, saints, is this happening when you do your devotional, when you read your Bible? Are you just so stuck at the beauty of God, saints? Or are you just getting knowledge? Are you just overwhelmed by the glory of God when you open your word and he begins to speak to you? It's the Holy Spirit bringing you before the throne and into his presence, saints, where you are like this psalmist here and you just say, I just want to do this for the rest of my life. I just want to behold you and be with you, saints. My prayers to God is that that is happening in your life, but my concern is that some of you, it's not happening. You're not meeting God in prayer. You're not really seeing him. You're getting words, but are you really encountering the living God where you can repeat these words that the psalmist is saying here in Psalms 27:4? Can you repeat that? Can you say, I just want to behold you? Have you been so stuck and wrapped up by the Spirit of God at his word and seeing him that you say, I just want to stay here forever? Because there's life there, saints. What I'm trying to do is just to encourage you to spend more time with Jesus, more time in prayer, more time in fasting, spend more time, because there's so much life there meeting Jesus. I told you this is not a sermon. I'm just trying to encourage you to seek the Lord, seek his presence more, saints. This could be you, where you sit there and you just behold him in his beauty and his glory. So take this text home. If this is not you, if you're not beholden to him, if you're reading your Bible and you're becoming bored or it's not making sense, you've got to go to the Lord and pray and ask him to help you to see him and to behold him to where his word becomes alive in you. Don't let your time just be a time of just, I need to do this check mark. I read the scriptures. Oh, now I can go and post in a group chat. No, spend time here with the Lord till you behold him and begin to see him in his glory and his beauty. This is what the psalmist says he wants us to do. This is David. So I'm praying that this happens in the hearts of us saints. We're saying, I just want to be with you, God. You, your presence is enough. I just want to stare at you. What are you staring at, saints? Are you staring at the beauty and the glory of the Lord and his word in prayer? Are you that what you're staring at? What are you looking at? Another verse I want to take us to, Psalms 84. I just want to look at verse 1 through 4. Psalm 84, verse 1 through 4. Let's look at the psalmist here, what he says. The psalmist here, my title is Longing for the Temple Worship. Okay. Look what he says here. He says, how lovely are your dwelling places. He's talking about God. O Lord of hosts, are we all here, Psalms 84, verse 1? Okay. How lovely are your dwelling places where God dwells. He says, O Lord of hosts, meaning O Lord of all. Look what he says. My soul longed even for the courts of the Lord. So he said his soul is longing for the courts of the Lord. So the way that the tabernacle was set up, there was an external court, then there's this kind of inner court, and then there's this inner holy of holies. He's talking about the external part. When he's saying, I just yearn for the courts of my Lord, he's saying, I just want to be near the presence of God. That's what he's saying. I'm just yearning to be near where the presence of God is. So he says, my soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. He says, my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. And I love this part here in verse 3. Because he gets jealous, so to speak, of a bird who has built basically a nest in the temple, and he just wishes he can be like this bird that has a home near the presence of God. That's how much he wants it. The presence of God, he just wants to be near it. So look what he says here. The bird also has found a house and a swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts. So the birds have crept into the crevices of the temple and made a nest there, and he's looking at the bird, and he's like, I just want to be like this bird where they get to always just be near you, near your presence. He's longing for the presence of God, and he's looking at birds that have made their home there in the temple and in the crevices, and they're like, I just want to be like this bird who has his home near the presence of God. That's all he wants. That's what the psalmist is asking for. I just want to be near the presence of God. And here's the thing about it. This psalm writer that's writing here, he could never go actually into the holies of holies where the presence of God was. He can only get near the presence of God. Only the high priest himself was able to go once a year into the actual presence of God. Everybody else can only get near the presence of God. That's it. They can only get near. They couldn't go in and fully experience the presence of God. So this psalmist here, writer, he's like, I just want to be near where you are. I know I can't go in. I'm not the high priest, but I just want to be near where the presence of God is. So that's why you see in the psalmist, they're always talking about being near the temple or being near the house of God. They just want to be near where God is. They know they can't go into the holies of holies. They just want to be somewhere close to his presence. So that's what the psalmist is doing here. He just wants to be near because he can't actually go into the actual holies of holies where God's presence is. Only the high priest could do that. So now what we're going to transition and do, because you've heard me say that many of times, I've told you how only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies, the Day of Atonement on Yom Kippur. Other than that, nobody else can go to the presence of God. You've heard me say that many times, but today what I want to do is actually read it together with you all. So we're going to read a lot of Leviticus 16. So that's what we're going to do next. We're going to read a lot of Leviticus 16, because now I just want you to see it. I want you to see how important it was and how only the high priest could actually go into the presence of God. And that was once a year. Once a year. So this is the major text that we're going to read, and then we'll transition to another one, and hopefully we'll go into prayer. But once we read this verse, and then we're going to look to a New Testament passage, I pray that everything pops. Remember, I always tell you, you need an explosion verse. So we're going to start with our first thing. It's going to be Leviticus 16, and then we're going to explode that verse, Leviticus 16, with Hebrews 9 and 10, and then hopefully you'll begin to see glory in what I'm getting at here. So that's how we're going to explode these verses. Leviticus 16, explode that with Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, and hopefully your heart begin to see glory in the passages here about the presence of God. All right, so keep in mind what we just read here in Psalms 84. Only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies. He's longing to be like the bird that's near the presence of God. He actually can't go into. None of the people in Israel could do that. So let me get to Leviticus. And I know Leviticus, they say, is the one book that most Christians never read. Because it's a lot of legalism and laws, and people get bored easily. But as you'll see, there's also glory here. So we're going to read Leviticus 16, all the way to verse 28, 1 through 28. Okay. This is going to be about the high priest on the Day of Atonement, and all the things that he had to go through just to enter the presence of God. That's what I really want you to see. All the stuff that the high priest had to go to just to enter the presence of God. Guess what? Once a year, he had to do all of this, and then he can go in there one time, once a year, in the presence of God. That's it. He's the only one. I'm keep saying that one time, once a year, because hopefully you'll see what I'm pointing at here. All right, so we hear Leviticus 16. The word of God reads this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of two of the sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. There we go, that presence of the Lord. You can't just come to the presence of the Lord any old way. They did. Strange fire, they end up getting killed. All right? The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother he shall not enter at any time. His brother Aaron is the high priest, by the way, just for those that may not know. So tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place. This is the Holy of Holies. It's called the holy place here. Inside the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, or he will die, for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. So again, in this tabernacle, there's a separate part of the tabernacle. There's a large veil here, and inside of this tabernacle, inside of the veil, there's this mercy seat, and God actually allowed his presence to dwell here on earth in a special way. So that's why this is a big thing. God, again, he allowed his presence to dwell here in this holy place above the mercy seat in a special way on this earth. So that's what we're talking about here. So he says, tell your brother Aaron that he should not enter in at any time into this holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the Ark of the Covenant, or he will die, for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Just imagine that. God is allowing his presence and his glory to come down and to appear over the mercy seat. All right? So now he's going to go into all of the different things that the high priest had to prepare himself and do in order for him to enter into the presence of God. And what I'm going to do first, before we read this next verse, I want to read to you a passage from a book from one of my favorite authors. He's gone to glory, Tim Keller. Probably one of my all-time favorite books. I've read it a lot. I always go to it. But he's quoting Ray Dillard, who was like an Old Testament scholar. And he's describing all of the things that the high priest had to do before he went into the Holy of Holies, or before the Day of Atonement. So let me read to you what he says here. And then we're going to get right back to verse 2 here in Leviticus. Okay? He says this, a week beforehand, this is Ray Dillard, the Old Testament scholar, what he's saying about the high priest. A week beforehand, the high priest was put into seclusion. So think about that. He knows that the Day of Atonement is coming up. So a week before all this, the high priest is separated from all of Israel. He's taken away from his home and into a place where he's completely alone. So this is what happens to the high priest. Why? So he wouldn't accidentally touch or eat anything unclean. So he's separated from his family, everything, because why? So he doesn't eat anything or touch anything unclean, because he's going to go in the presence of God. Clean food was brought to him, and he'd wash his body and prepare his heart. So that's what he's doing a week before. The night before the Day of Atonement, he didn't go to bed. He stayed up all night praying and reading God's word to purify his soul. Then on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, he would take a bath head to toe he would bathe and head to toe and be dressed in pure, unstained white linen. Then he went into the Holy of Holies and offered an animal sacrifice to God to atone or pay the penalty for his own sins. After that, he came out and bathed completely again. So he took another bath after coming out. New white linen was put on him, and he went in again, this time sacrificing for the sins of the priest. But that's not all. He would come out a third time, and he would bathe again, take another bath from head to toe, and they would dress him in brand new pure linen, and he went into the Holy of Holies and atoned for the sins of all the people. He says, did you know that this was all done in public? The temple was crowded, and those in attendance watched closely. There was a thin veil, and he bathed behind it. He took a bath behind his thin veil. But the people were present. They saw him bathe, dress, go in, come back out. He was their representative before God, and they were there cheering him on. Let me see. They were very concerned to make sure that everything was done properly and with purity, because he represented them before God. So that's some of the stuff that the high priest would do just even a week before he actually went into a Holy of Holies, right? And now let's read more about this high priest, what he did in order to enter into the presence of God. So here in verse 3, this we're going to pick up in Leviticus 16, he says, Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic on his head. The linen undergarment shall be next to his body, and he shall be girded with the linen sash and an attire with the linen turban. These are holy garments. So in order for him to enter into the Holy of Holies, he has to have the right clothing on. He has to have these holy garments on in order for him, again, to go into the presence of God. I'm going to keep stressing that because you need to see this. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. So he cleanses his body, and then he puts on his clothes that he's preparing himself to go into the presence of God. He shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel 2 male goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself. So he's offering sin for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and his household. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meetings. Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. So you heard people say, who's the scapegoat? That's an actual real thing. Then Aaron offered the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to send it into the wilderness as the scapegoat. So imagine this, they would have a goat, and the high priest would lay his hands on his goat, like transferring his sins and his wrongdoing on his goat, and they would let this goat go in the wilderness. That's a scapegoat, right? Where I'm at, verse 11. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household, and he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. Verse 12, he shall take a fire pan, look at this part here, full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord 2 handfuls of finely ground sweet incense and bring it inside the veil, meaning inside of the Holy of Holies. So he's bringing fire, he has incense, he's bringing that inside of the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence is dwelling. Look what it says. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony, otherwise he will die. So he puts these incense on the fire pan, and if you ever seen the incense, it creates this smoke. It's like smoke and foggy, and it's covering the mercy seat where God's presence dwells. Verse 14, moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. Also in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. So he's dipping his hands in his blood while he's in there. He's sprinkling blood. He can't even just sit there and just dwell in the presence of God. He's actually doing work. He's getting blood. He's throwing it on there. So he's not just sitting there and dwelling in the presence of God. Hope you guys see where I'm going with this. Here we go. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do it with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, because of their transgressions in regards to all their sins. And thus he shall do for the tent of meeting, which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. Verse 17. When he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of meeting until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all of the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altars on all sides. Verse 19. With his finger he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it 7 times and cleanse it, and from the impurities of the sons of Israel consecrate it. When he has finished atoning for the holy place and the tent of meetings and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all of the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all of their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. That's what I was talking about, that scapegoat. He's putting his hands on there. He's transferring all of the sins of Israel, all of their iniquities to this goat. Verse 22. The goat shall bear on itself all of their iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. It's like he's taking a sin out of Israel, so to speak, when he does that. He's removing it from the people. He's going to the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tent of meetings and take off the fine linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and he shall leave them there. And he shall, here's another bath, right? And he shall bathe his body with water in a holy place. That's a key thing, bathing his body in water. This is purity, this is cleansing. He shall bathe his body with water in a holy place and put on his clothes and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people. 25, we're getting there, y'all, we're almost there. Then he shall offer up in smoke the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The one who releases a goat as a scapegoat shall wash his clothes, bathe his body with water, then afterwards he shall come into the camp. But the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside of the camp, get that sin-bearing thing away outside of the camp, and they shall burn their hides, their flesh, their refuse in the fire. Then the one who burned them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterwards he shall come into the camp. Look at 29 here. We're almost done. This shall be a permanent statute for you. In the 7th month, in the 10th day of the year, you shall humble your souls, not do any work, whether the native or the alien or the sojourner among you. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you, and you will be clean from all of your sins before the Lord. Stop there. So do you see what the high priest had to do? Just to enter in, I shouldn't say just, but to enter into the presence of God. He had washed, he had the bathe, there was animals slaughtered, he had to sprinkle blood, he had to bring in incense. to go into the presence of God once a year. Can you imagine that, saints? You only been able to go into the presence of God once a year? Imagine that. You who know what I'm talking about, and you who know where you have been in the presence of God, can you imagine if you were only allowed to do that once a year? That's all the high priest would do. Once a year, he got to go into the Holy of Holies and be where the presence of God is. But again, there was this long process that he had to go through, from cleansing his body with water, from having on the right linen garments, and then going in and making atonement there. He doesn't even really get to fully spend time dwelling there. Keep that thought in mind. Now I'm going to bring you to another verse where hopefully you begin to see glory. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Keep all that we read in mind about entering into the presence of God once a year on the high priest. Keep Psalms 84 in mind, how the psalmist talked about just wanting to be near the presence. He wanted to be like a bird that had a home in the temple. Remember that. Think about Psalms 27, how David longed to be within or near the presence of God. So keep all that in mind. And now you're going to read euangelion. You're going to see good news. Okay. And then we'll be done. So, trying to see where I wanted to start. You have my notes. I wanted to start in 11, but I may back up just a little to give you a better context. Let's start in verse 6 in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 6 in Hebrews. Are we here? And do we have Leviticus 16? Plugged away in our mind here, all that we just read about the high priest entering through the presence of God once a year and the process that he went through, right? We have that in our mind. Hopefully we have Psalms again, 84 in our mind. Keep those in your mind. Put a pen in it as you're reading now, Hebrews 9, and you'll see the glory. You'll see the euangelion. You'll see the gospel. You'll see the good news, what Jesus has purchased for us. All right, starting in verse 6. Now, when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. But into the second, talking about the holiest holies, Holy of Holies, what we were just reading about in Leviticus 16, into the second, only the high priest enters once a year. That's what we were talking about. Once a year he goes to his presence, not without taking blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. Then he says in verse 8, the Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place, talking about the holiest holies, have not been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. The writer says, which is a symbol for the present time. He says, accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience. Since they relate only, this is verse 10, since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed into a time of reformation. Talking about to the time of Jesus. Now you begin to see glory here. Look what happens in verse 11. But when Christ, the Messiah, appeared as a high priest of good things to come. Now the true high priest came. All those other high priests were types and shadows. Now we have the real true high priest. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of good things to come, look what he entered. He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not this creation. Remember the Levitical priest, the high priest, he entered into a tabernacle that was made with hands. He's saying that Jesus entered into a tabernacle that was not made with hands. A heavenly one is what he's talking about. He says in verse 12, and not through the blood of goats and calves. Remember, that's what the high priest, in order for him to enter into the presence of God, he had to bring the blood of goats and calves to atone for the sins of himself and the people. He's saying Jesus didn't bring no blood of goats and calves when Jesus entered into the holy place. He says, look what he brought. Look what Jesus brought, y'all. But through his own blood. It was his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all. The high priest had to do it yearly, perpetually, once a year, make an atonement for all of the people, once a year. Jesus entered in there one time, and look what it says, once for all, and having obtained eternal redemption. Amen. Eternal redemption. You guys know what redemption is? Come on, you guys heard me tell this so many times. What is redemption, Bridge people? What does redemption mean in the scriptures? But come on, Sister Debbie, here you go. Preach that. Buy back, right? Remember in the Old Testament, you lost your property, whatever. Your relative had basically first right of refusal. Before you can send your land or property to someone else, your relative had the right to go buy that land back and to restore it back to the family. That was called redemption rights. He was redeeming property that was once yours that you lost, and he's redeeming it, buying it back, and bringing it into the family. Same thing if you were a slave. If you were a slave on hard times back in those days, you would sell yourself into slavery because you didn't have money. But your relative could have redemption rights, and they could go buy you back out of slavery to restore you to your original condition. Jesus has gained for us eternal redemption, and he has restored us back to our relationship with God, back to having peace with God. That's eternal redemption. Back to where our sins have been wiped away, and we now stand one with God. That's that eternal redemption that Jesus has purchased by his own blood. So that's euangelion, just right there, describing what Jesus has done. Now, I'm going to show you one more other piece. I don't want to read all through 9 because I don't want to lose you there, but we're going to skip over to chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 19 through 22. So I hope what you're seeing here, just follow me. You already seen the Levitical priest, right? The high priest. He enters in with the blood of bulls and goats once a year. We see that Jesus, the true high priest, entered into a tabernacle not made with hands one time. And he goes not with the blood of bulls and goats, but he goes with his own blood. He sacrificed himself. And it's through that, his own blood, we now have eternal redemption. We are restored to a right relationship with God. We are righteous. We are justified. Sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus has done. Are we all tracking there? Good stuff? Okay. All right. Now, keep those same thoughts in mind. I know it's a lot we're trying to hold in our mind, but you have to do that. Now go to Hebrews again, 10. 19 to 22. Look what it says. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Just stop there. Someone, just that verse right there should make somebody shout and see glory. He says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Excuse me, who in the Old Testament got to go into the presence of God? Was it everyone? It was only who? But now the writer is saying, who can now actually go into the presence of God now? Who can go in there now? We can. Come on, that's a weak we. Before, only the high priest can go into the presence of God and actually experience his presence once a year. Now your Bible is saying we have confidence that we who were not high priests, who now can go into the presence of God and experience him and know him. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Come on, saints, this is what the gospel has purchased for you. Presence or entry into the presence of God. You ever been there before when you are worshiping and you feel his presence or you're reading your Bible? Do you know that that was blood purchased? Do you know the reason when you feel his presence and you feel him around you and you're reading your word, that does not just come natural. That was actually blood purchased. You're actually a recipient of the blood of Jesus. That's why you're feeling so good. That is why you're feeling the presence of God. The gospel actually purchased that for you. That is not something you just get. That was something that only the high priest would get to go into the presence of God and experience him and know him. But because of the blood of Jesus, saints, you now can actually go into the presence of God and meet him and know him in a deep way. That's what the gospel has purchased for you. That's what it has afforded you. Oh, let's keep reading. Come on, in verse 20. So again, I'm starting 19 and go to 20. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence now, us regular folks, to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, through his body that he offered up. It's through his sacrifice we can now actually go into the presence of God. And look what he says. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, look what he says in 22. Let us draw near. Go in. Go near to God. You can actually go into his presence now. Look what he says. Draw near with a sincere heart and full confidence of faith, knowing that I'm standing righteous before God. That's why I said we are not like Isaiah 6, where he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. You see how he doesn't have a full assurance of faith because he knows that he's a sinful person? We don't have to have that. We can go into the presence of God with full assurance of faith, knowing that Jesus Christ, his blood has cleansed us, and that we stand holy and righteous before God because of what he did. So we're not like that in Isaiah. We can go in with confidence. So he's saying here, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Look, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Look how he's connecting the heart and the conscience and how they're together. And he says, sprinkle clean. Do you remember when the high priest went in there? What did he sprinkle? Blood. He sprinkled blood. That was for the cleansing. He said that our hearts and our conscience has been sprinkled clean by the blood of Jesus. So we can go into the presence of God without a guilty conscience. That's the point. The children of Israel, they couldn't do that because they had this guilty conscience of sin. But now because of the blood of Jesus, we have been cleansed, so we can go in with a full assurance of faith, with not this guilty conscience, but knowing that I can stand before God because of what Jesus has done. Here we go. So having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and look, our bodies washed with pure water. What did the high priest have to do before he went to the Holy of Holies? He had to bathe and be washed. You see, all those were types and shadows of what Jesus would actually do. So Jesus kind of treated us like the high priest. He washed us, cleansed us, made us fit so that now we can draw near and go into the presence of God. Lord, come on. We can go there. Saints, you can go to the presence of God not once a year, many times as you want. It all depends on how much time do you want to spend with Jesus. How much time do you want to spend in prayer to where the Holy Spirit begins to wrap you up and you find yourself at the throne of God. You're not like a high priest who can only go and visit the Lord once a year. You can do it on a daily, saints, and that's what I'm talking about. You can go and just spend time with the Lord, and he begins to just open your heart and bring you to the throne, and you find yourself in the presence of God, and you say, like the psalmist in Psalms 27, I just want to dwell here and behold him in his beauty. That's why I'm asking you the question, do you say those words? Has the Holy Spirit brought you there to the presence of God, and do you just stare at the beauty of God as you're reading your word, as the Holy Spirit is revealing truth to you? Is this happening in your life, or do you just have religion and rituals? Are you really encountering the true and living God, saints? If not, you just got dead religion. You just got rituals. Jesus is a real person that you can interact with and commune with. You can feel his presence. Is that happening, saints? If not, go to your knees and say, Father, enlighten the eyes of my heart to help me to see you and to behold you, so I can be like the psalmist and say, I just want to be here forever, God. I just want to dwell in your presence, just behold you in your beauty. That should be our heart, saints. You can go into this presence anytime. Look what Jesus has afforded you. Look what the euangelion has purchased you. You have access now to the presence of God. It's yours now. It's good news, saints. Because in the presence of God, what does the scripture say? There's fullness of joy. There's joy there in the presence of God. At his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. It's more to this Christian life. Saints, go deeper with Jesus. That's my one urge. Just go deeper. Pray more. Read more. Fast more. Set aside time. James tells us, right, if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. You have to draw near to him. And when you get there, you have to understand that it gets no better than God himself, than having fellowship with him, that he is the treasure. He is the pearl of great price. It is God himself. He is the field that you find that treasure. You go sell everything because of the treasure you found. That is the Lord. He's the one. So you got to go in there and understand that, God, you are enough. You are the treasure. You are the one that satisfied my soul. Just your presence alone. And saints, guess what? This is not just some future glory we can experience. It's something you can begin to experience right now, and it gives you life. Life in the presence of God, saints. So that's my plea to you today. It's available. Jesus, his blood has purchased this for you. You have access now. He's atoned for your sins. Go be with the Lord. Go spend time with him. Yes, you love your kids and your family, but you got to put them aside. Go spend time with the Lord alone. Meet him there. Enter into his presence. And let just being with him begin to just fill your soul and bring you that pleasure forevermore, that joy. Amen.